You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions, where you can get your step-by-step, easy-to-follow, simple plug-and-play plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be in 90 days. Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Tonight, we're talking about something special, very special. You know, Spider-Man, Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, all these different superheroes, they all have an origin story, like Spider-Man, you know, being bullied at school and then bit by a radioactive spider, super smart guy, all of a sudden becomes a superhero. Don't know about the rest of them. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't even know that's correct for Spider-Man. Who knows? Maybe it was something completely different. We're going to talk about the origin story that has led to this program, 90 Day Soulmate, as well as started off everything with this book, 90 Day Soulmate.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She travelled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve. Into their self. No room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up. Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
Why we feel this is important. What do you think?
Important in what way?
Important. What we wanted to share is that Lisette had a conversation with somebody earlier this week, and there was a little distance between them because Lisette being and she audits, right? You audit companies. And the distance is that sometimes she comes into a company and people are intimidated by Lisette because she doesn't physically intimidate, but she is an auditor of the company and its processes. And because of that, there's this factor of like she's the process police. She's going to find out what's going on here and I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So in talking, they start talking a little bit of personal stuff to break the ice. Mm-hmm. And I think the person tells you their situation. And then Lisette goes on to tell her situation of the books she's written a little bit and a little bit about your history. Mm-hmm. And the history of having a child, becoming a single mom, struggling to try to find
the right man.
The right man. That's what she wanted to do, but that was her goal. And I use "and" a lot here because this is a continuation of a story. what was interesting was once she shared that personal part of her life with the person that she was working with, they became less...
Hey, some feedback that I see, and this is interesting how some people see history the other, no? This
okay.
Is where you go?
Well, we will go to the feedback of the history. Where I was going was mm-hmm. The person was less intimidated. They felt more close, that they were able to share more about their company, that they didn't feel that Lizette was this intimidating, unknown superhero coming in to try to save the day by finding all the things that are wrong in the company or try to improve the processes, that she was just a fellow human being with vulnerabilities, with a rough life that she's worked through. We all have these things. And so the origin story, and I think that was the case, is that you shared the origin story, mm-hmm. the video, with a person, which changed the way they viewed you and helped increase the connection of communication between. What were some of the things, though, that you got some feedback on the origin story? I think let's start off with the first. Different types of people that you meet. Mm-hmm. So the person started bringing up some of the people that are in that little cartoon,
yeah,
the origin
story. Yeah, because we tried to represent in these different, the 300 guys I met before, sorry, 299. The different, the first is looking other person, the second is more selfish, or we can say narcissism, or whatever is the terminology, or the third one maybe is a crazy guy. So that is make like the material for the book, of course, but this is make a why I attract these different kind of person.
Why? And I won't even start off with the first being a man who you undoubtedly get along with really well, that becomes your husband, who then leaves.
Yeah, yeah. So at the first, yes, when I the baby born,
right.
The guy leaves. So is some kind of the abandoned personality that this person have to avoid. So he say, oh my God, it's a big packet coming. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's better that I running away. So that is all the
another
guy in the list.
So, and I wanted to start there in a way, because sometimes we hit it off with somebody. You know, we go on a date and we're like, they're great, they're wonderful. And then all of a sudden they ghost us. They're not mm-hmm. returning our phone calls. I text them, they don't text me back. And just something happens and they go away. And this is a type of person. You know,
yeah.
What is that? And we talk about the different personalities, and we wanted to go into the different personalities of why are we, one, potentially attracted to these personalities? And are these actually good? You know, what is a good personality? What is a good type of person to be our partner if we are looking for that?
Yeah, no, so I guess in the beginning, we don't know who is the person. So you start to dating, you marry sometime this person. And then when I have some message, I guess, from my mama, grandmama, say that you really recognize the person when you are a critical situation.
Yes.
So that is true. When you have some problem, or you are pregnant, or you want to be pregnant, and all these critical situation is when you see who is your partner, you know, and then who is the person with you and how acting in critical situation.
So we have a couple of studies that we have looked at on the internet, but I've printed some of the info from them, which is very interesting because it does talk about critical situations and then how do couples get through them and what type of couples get through them together and which those situations become moderating factors in the relationship, stressors in the relationship, and then they learn that their differences actually drive them apart because of those stressors. But
yeah.
Until those stressors, they may not know it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not recommending that on the first date you create stress. But
you create some situation, you have some stolen the wallet to see how acting.
But I think the sooner you can get involved in lots of different experiences with the person that you're dating, mm-hmm. that you're spending time with, not really stressful, but go on a trip, do a sport, do an activity, where you have to relate to other people, go to a sporting game, you know, do things that go up and down emotionally in a variety of methods. Mm-hmm. Get in, go into traffic.
Yes, you figure out the critical situation.
But let's talk about these different characters in the video. So we see in the first date in the video that you and I'm trying to remember which way it goes, but I think it's in the first date in the video you see somebody who is checking out other people. Mm-hmm. Check out ladies.
Yeah.
Right? And what does that do? Like, you're on a date. Anybody's on a date with somebody, and the person they're with, instead of connecting like this, they're looking here and they're looking here, that they're not paying attention and they're actually checking out other people.
Yeah. And this is some line that you can maybe, if you are in one restaurant and one maybe amazing woman with lion red dress and
holding a live crocodile.
Yeah, and then you have to watch because really pay attention in the room. And you can have conversation. Oh, you see the dress is nice, or oh, she's pretty. That is not wrong. But when the behavior is going to back and forth for any movement around the room and the person is distracting, and you feel like that you don't have connection, yeah, with the person.
Absolutely.
And the cartoon, really, we try to put the concept more for infidelity, okay? So yeah. There is the person they dating to you, and then you see the person in the phone hiding information or dating three person at the same time or whatever is the case. So that's this other kind of behavior that we feel. We smell and say, okay, that is wrong. But maybe some people don't get it, because you can find also really good guy doing or woman doing this.
So early on, and we talk about this, and you've probably heard us talk about this. Early on, when we first met, I was on a weekend where I had set 4 first dates. So I wasn't serially or parallelly dating 4 people. It was meet with somebody, see if you get along, meet with somebody else, go to Starbucks, go to the track and jog
and
with somebody.
The woman disappear.
Not true. Not true at all. The point is that early on in the relationship, where you're just meeting people, you may be meeting lots of people, but it's you're not getting seriously. You're getting serious with lots of people. Mm-hmm. You're not having relations with lots of people.
Yeah.
Some people do, but if you're really trying to find that person,
to be honest, so say, okay, and you was honest. You told me, yes, it's like they applied for jobs, so he sees so many proposals and say, okay.
It was actually 8 people, not 4. No,
yeah, it's
4.
Okay. So I feel better because, oh my God, it's 7 is not
enough people. How could you choose me if there's only 4 others?
You believe that you choose me.
That's nice. Lizette, that's
okay.
Nice. Okay. So to continue on, let's go back to the person checking out, ladies. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a woman checking out guys, or just paying attention to other things, or checking out the phone instead of talking with you, a man doing that, whomever, that it's the attention, is it the care, it's the concern. And part of it is, let's say, one of the personality traits we talked about last week, conscientiousness, are they aware of what they're doing and how that impacts you? And I think when we talk about conscientiousness, we're going to talk about a study and the different personality traits and how they are correlated to long-term relationship stability. Which ones are good to have in the relationship and which ones are bad? And if you remember what those 5 personality traits are, the big 5 personality traits, Ocean. Ocean. It's an ocean of personality. Openness to new experience. C. Conscientiousness. E. Extrovert. Extroversion. Outward going. Mm-hmm. A. Agreeableness. Yes?
Yes.
Agreeableness. And then the N is neuroticism, or being unstable emotionally, swinging from one end to the other, really happy, really sad, just really something that is. And if you listen to all those, there are like four which seem to be positive, right? Four positive things: somebody who's outgoing, somebody who's agreeable, open to new experiences, and conscientious, right? Conscientiousness of that person. Those sound reasonably good. Mm-hmm. And neuroticism, being neurotic, having emotional swings or emotions that just don't fit the situation correctly, is the one that is the negative. So when you look at personality traits, they say the strongest correlation to having long-term stability in a relationship is, and I'll look at these numbers here, and a drum roll please. 90% correlated long-term stability of a relationship goes to conscientiousness, being aware of the impact you have on somebody else, being conscious of that, being responsible, being feeling guilty if you do something bad, wanting to apologize, make something right, taking integrity. It's all part of conscientiousness. Another one high on the list is agreeableness.
No.
Can you imagine not being agreeable?
Yes. We know why we laugh.
No, we don't. So agreeableness is another one which is very high on the level. And why is that? When you get into a situation where there is stress, where there is something that you have to overcome, somebody who can agree, or even two people, it doesn't mean you agree with each other. It means you're agreeable, that you're not fighting. You're trying to come and work to an agreeable solution. Just like openness to new experience is that you're open. Okay, if this isn't going to work, what else can we do to make it work? I'm open to trying that. The other is extroversion. There was a high correlation between extroversion, outwardness, communicating, wanting to relate to other people, being social, that there was a high relationship with that, with long-term relationship stability. So when we talk about neuroticism again, the moodiness of a relationship, and we look at how it can create anxiety, tension, self-pity, hostility, being impulsive. Depression and low self-esteem is all part of that neuroticism. And sometimes if you don't understand how that person can have that mood, it makes trying to have a conversation very difficult, especially when their reaction to a stressor It may be very illogical. Like, I don't get it. They're happy about losing the house.
Yeah. Why? What
I don't
wrong?
Get it. What's wrong with them? We have a lot more to talk about on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
And we'll return after this. Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about the origin story, the people we meet in our relationships, the differences in personalities. We've got so much information, so many different studies that we have info on. So Lizette likes this way of putting people into personalities. There's a three-dimensional personality profile of child, parent, adult, mm-hmm. not necessarily in that order, but child is somebody who is a little bit, maybe we use the word neurotic, a little bit, their reaction may be over emotionally. They may
and also enjoy the life is the play and enjoy.
They take things personally.
No.
Yeah, they take things personally. Well, let's talk about the personality type. So the child feels that adults and parents are telling them what to do and talking down to them.
Yeah.
So there's a self-esteem issue here. Uh-huh. They may act up and act out. And a parent, on the other hand, wants to tell the child what to do.
And also protection. So I see when you reaction in some situation to protect others, sometimes it's more parent than adult, because adult is when you have the conscience to leave, the people have the experience versus the protect. So the reaction for the child, parents, and adult is you can catch in the reaction of some situation. So when you protect so much your family or your partner or your job is parent lose life versus the adult is understand everything and take everybody responsible for what it has to do.
So adults like dealing with other adults because they can logically, agreeably come to a response on a situation.
And so I guess this is conscientious, you know?
Conscientious. So they are responsible and agreeable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they look at things logically.
Yeah.
Adult. Parent may be, you're doing it my way.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it may not be logical. It may not be agreeable. It's mm-hmm. my way. I want to do it. That's where some of that maybe narcissist personality comes in, where I'm more important than you. You're the child. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a relationship where somebody's treating you like a child and that they're telling you what to do, that's what we're talking about. Parent versus child. Adult and adult. Two people on equal footing. And what's so important and how these all meld mm-hmm. together
mm-hmm.
is the other studies that I looked at, we talked about before the show, which has to do with educational differences. Because adult parent child sometimes falls into other categories. And I'll explain this.
Mm-hmm.
So studies were done with couples over a long term of marital satisfaction, how they got along. Their educational background was broken down into high and low educational background. You know, low education, high education, just a spectrum of what was one compared to the other. Say, graduate, doctorate versus high school. And so high school, maybe a little college was considered low, full college, considered high, but there was a range. And so they categorize people in this range, let's say it's 1 through 10, and looked at the couples and how they got along. And what was most interesting about educational differences in a relationship were that similar education, no matter if it was considered low-low or high-high, had much better long-term relationships and satisfaction in those relationships when the educational level was similar.
Good.
So what I believe, going back to parent, child, adult, is that if there is an educational difference, say high-low of a educational difference between a couple had the most significant dissatisfaction of all. And high-high was above low-low. So high-high, high educational level, high educational level, had the highest long-term satisfaction in their relationships. So what that means for all of us is whatever education you have and whatever you're interested in, the higher you attain in that area and the more fitting that person is that you want to be with in that similar area tends to give the longest term best satisfaction in a relationship. Differences may attract because you're like, ooh, they're different. We talk about protection. A high education person may say, I want to protect a low education person. They might just like each other because they've known each other for 30 years.
Yeah, for 30 years, and the person like to be protected, and the other person protect the person. Thinking he's a child in the relationship.
At some point, all these people are actually adults. And when somebody's being treated like a child and they don't want to be treated like a child.
Or maybe lie. So this is, everybody's different.
It's true. I'm saying, generally speaking,
okay.
I'm going to be an adult now. Okay. Or a parent. I'm not sure which of this. Educationally speaking, long term, generalized. Remember that all these studies are generalizations that put things into categories and then give correlations, which means that there can be a highly educated and a lesser educated couple that have the most fantastic relationship. It doesn't mean they don't work. It means there's less of a chance of it working. That's all. So when we look at things, though, if we want the highest success of things working, we want to try to do as many of the things that highly successful relationships have.
Yes.
So I want to keep going with this, and we'll get back to personality.
Mm-hmm.
Differences in culture. Do you remember this question? We had this question 10 years ago. We were on that show with the two psychologists, and they said, oh, you're a Latina, and you're a gringo. Not you're a gringo. I'm a gringo.
Okay.
And
Latina.
You're a Latina. I'm not a Latina. Although
sometimes. Yeah.
They asked obvious cultural background differences.
Mm-hmm.
How does that fit in your relationship? Do you see? And what was the answer?
We grew up in one house with similar values.
So
never
values.
Mind, it's in different country or different culture. Yeah.
Which is interesting, because what the study shows about differences in culture, and they put that as DSIC or something like that, differences in culture, or DISC, whatever it is, that the differences in culture turned out, hold on, here it is, yielded no evidence for DISC couples being less satisfied. So this was a study of studies, so it was a meta-analysis of different studies, and it was showing that differences in culture alone is not the moderating factor in whether a couple is satisfied in their relationship. Despite cultural differences, they said it is less to do with the cultural differences, but more to do with the value differences. That if the dissimilar cultures have similar values growing up, similar family structure and all, that was more of an indicator of a successful relationship than the cultures themselves. Although they did say there are stressors involved in dissimilar cultures in relationships.
So the people need to understand that we are in America, so America is the same culture. Come on. It's all America.
It's America. The beauty. Oh, excuse me. So the last study, and these are all groups of studies, was talking about gendered personality, meaning your view of the role of genders in a relationship, your values, your life values, your religious values, and your own personality profile. They looked at those and came up with which ones mattered, which ones didn't matter in long-term, successful, satisfied relationships. They said that having similar identification of the roles of gender in the relationship, whatever that would be, that was a good indicator of success in a relationship. Having similar values and similar views on values, that also was a good indicator of long-term success and satisfaction. And having personality profiles that matched, and how you would react in certain situations that matched, was a good indicator of long-term success. What they found, though, was religion itself, that was not. and they broke out religion from belief. Like belief, if a general belief did have an impact, but the religion itself was lesser of.
Interesting, yeah.
And I can say personally, I think potentially people in religions are searching for answer through the religion. So it may be a much more malleable experience as time goes on, where the values you grew up with your personality, with other things, may be more set in stone. Spiritualism and religion may be a forever developing piece and part of our lives. Maybe. I don't know. It's my own opinion. It's not part of the research. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's actually not true. So.
But I agree.
I want to go back to our parent-adult-child stuff. So let's look at that again. So in a relationship, if you've researched this too, the adult perspective is that we both have we have equal say in our decision as adults. Let's discuss it, come up with an answer. We figure that out. So if you look at that in the personality group of thing, you're open to discussing and having a different outcome, that you're willing to talk about it. So there's a little bit, let's put that a little bit into the extroversion thing. Now you can be an introvert too, you can think about it, but you have to be able to communicate. Agreeableness, let's agree to come up with an outcome that's good for both of us. And the conscientiousness is, let's do it without hurting each other. Let's do it and try to, you know, I if you can do something, hurt somebody, and you have no feeling about it, I just want to do it for myself. And we were talking about, is that psychopathic? Is that a narcissist and all, and all that? These definitions is that everybody has a little bit of self-preservation, a little bit of...
ego. It's the ego in a different level. And the ego sometimes is important too, because protect yourself. So is it the way how you manage your ego?
It does. Mm-hmm. So where we were going with that conversation before the show was that a lot of times we want to label people certain things. But again, that's our perspective of them in our relationship with them. And we may be enabling them to be that, or our relationship and interaction with them has them behave in a way that appears to be this, but when they're with somebody else, they would act differently, or we would act differently.
Yeah, and the label part, so is the society right now with more information, everybody have all kind of the label to describe, okay, now you need to go and take this pill to fix in this, versus the understand the human have so many different characteristic personality mixing in different levels, it's difficult to put in one box.
And we were joking about this, that I was looking through this book on Psych 101, different personality disorders. And it talks about paranoia, talks about narcissism, talks about social anxiety disordered, and it goes through all these different things of different disorders that people may have, and says about 1% of the population has this, about 1% has that. And if you look at all the disorders and you go, the percent of population that has it, it's like 20% of the population has, quote, a disorder. But basically, it's we live on a spectrum of behavior, of, you know, some people who are really extroverts and some people are really introverts. Some people who are really agreeable and really disagreeable. And we say people in the middle, the average, is normal. And people out here and out here, they're suffering some phobia, anxiety, or disorder.
Yeah. So how do you measure it?
How do you measure it? You measure it based upon what you expect, right?
Yeah.
And then how much does the person actually, you labeled me at this, that means I need to act this way, and now they become more of what you just labeled them.
Yeah.
And I've known people who have acted a certain way, they go to a doctor and the doctor says you have this, then all of a sudden their symptoms go from a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10 to a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10 of that thing. And personally, I've seen it, and you're like, 2 days ago when you didn't know you had this thing, you only had the symptoms 1 or 2 hours a week, and now that the doctor has said this is what you're diagnosed with, every day you have the symptoms.
Yes.
Oh, I don't have to try to not have them. Mm. You know, every day I have to try to not keep sleeping in the morning. You know, I have to try. But if the doctor says you have a sleep disorder, you can't get up in the morning, guess what? Oh, now I have a reason I like to sleep in the morning. It's not just that I like sleeping.
Yes, exactly.
I like eating, but I have to stop at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yes. For example.
For example. But any case, we'll be back right after this message with more of 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
"90 Day Soulmate" is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. We're back on 90 Day Soulmate, the origin story, with Lizette.
And Jim.
We're talking about different people we meet in our relationships. Let's go back to the video. The second gentleman in the video that you meet when you start dating again is somebody who goes blah, 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 blah. Talks, talks, talks.
And never connect.
Never connects. So are they an extrovert?
Yeah, can be. Extroverts and focusing himself. Sometimes is like the superficial person because he's really in deep in himself, so not allowed to be ruined with me.
So I want to go. One of the things they found, another study found that extroversion was a good thing for a relationship, but it had to be matched with conscientiousness.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, be aware when you have conversation, allow to listen others. Some people interrupt and allow to say something or say jump and say, no, that is wrong. So that is something that you need to balance and be conscious to in the communication is try to be equal, you know?
Yes. I try more. Blah, blah, blah,
sorry.
Blah, blah, blah. I don't know if that was me.
Yes, I don't want to put the guy in the job.
Blah,
sorry.
Blah, blah.
Okay, but so, you have one good expression. What are you talking about?
Oh, so there's an old story about I was on a date with a woman, and she just kept talking and talking and talking about her life and growing up. And she said, enough about me. What do you think about me?
Yes, yeah. Be focused on you. And then it's not just for conversation. You can see also in behavior, you know, because maybe the person is introvert, but the point is never connect. So it's when you talking about, oh, you know, I like a pen, so I like to have blue and red, and talking with these, or maybe not talk, and you don't feel the time that you spend with these people. Is connection for feeling, for working together or planning together or see something together. And they is with you, but without you. And sometimes when I hear one son say, I feel so alone, based upon they live with you. So some relationship that is together, live in the same house, but right. Don't feel connection.
Part of the, and I don't want to say a solution to that, but I want to go back to level of education, level of values, not level, types of values, things that are similar between a couple that then helps them communicate all the time about different things is important for long-term relationship satisfaction.
Yeah. Not everybody have the tools for open communication. So sometimes it's difficult to find the word, to find the context, or to find how explain how feeling, because it's different. They say, I feel bad with the person, but I don't know why.
Mm.
And then this is, they try to analyze, be conscious what happened, and deliver a good message versus I feel angry, or I feel upset, or whatever is the feeling, and I don't want to talk.
Mm.
So,
yes, I agree.
So how about the third guy?
The third guy, the guy with the patch over eye and axe in hand. Okay, it was a little dramatic.
Yeah.
But what was funny is when you showed that video, somebody said, oh my gosh, I dated that guy.
Yeah, so many persons say the same.
But the patch was on the other eye.
Yeah, that's I'm working like that.
There are people who say, oh my gosh, I went on that date with that guy and he really creeped me out. Like there was something wrong. Or that woman, I don't know what was going on. You know, she kept talking about the guy who disappeared. Mm. Hey, wait, that was you.
It's me. So yes, I dating guy that is so good and a manipulator in the beginning that you say, wow, is a good talking, funny interaction, and you feel like we are in good mood, but and then you start to discover the person disappear or cheating or lie to you or have a different life in another place. When you go there, you say, oh, you have family, a kid, and this, and you never know. So this kind of the I call pirate, no?
Pirate
guy is doing this kind of stuff, and it is so, in the beginning, it's difficult to figure out. In some case, when you read or sign, but sometimes you can be involved in one kind of the crazy guy relationship.
So
or woman.
There are some guys who learn the way to have a conversation with a woman is you're supposed to say something bad about her, like, oh, you decided to wear that dress. Like, this is like what's being taught by some people, how to communicate. You know, be a little edgy, be a little pushy, that it's to get that, you know, if you're going with, I'm not telling you that's what you should do. I'm saying this is what people are being told, is that you be a little controversial, because people are always saying, oh, you're so beautiful, or, oh, wow, you know, I'd really like to go on a date with you. That the opposite approach is being taught by some people, which is like, oh, you know, it's too bad that you wore that shirt, or I would have asked you out. What do you mean? And then it's like you're starting a conversation based upon this, and it's based upon manipulation.
And challenge, so the human like challenge, so put the challenge in the table and the everybody catch.
Yes. Oh, I'm not interested in you. What? You're not interested in me?
Mm-hmm. You know? I beat you, then you fall in love with me in three months, and then they start to do the, I put $100 in the table, yeah, something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that people, and we talked about this just a little bit earlier in the show, is that if you can put people through stressors, and I don't mean, again, a stress that's made up, but stuff that, you know, a trip, go bowling, dance, something that you enjoy doing that would put you in a different environment, different experience with the person, with other people, in traffic, on a mountain, when you know it's safe, and you go through these different experiences, you can see more of their personality sooner. But if you feel somebody's got a patch and an axe and you're like, maybe they're still a nice guy, that's where you have to be careful, is you have to be able to trust instincts as, you know what, I need to end this, and I need to end this like now, that I'm not going to go on with this relationship. Something we always bring up is that a lot of times we talk about the similarities and how they're good for a relationship. And yet, people are taught from the time they're young that opposites attract. This is why we sometimes get into the same bad relationship over and over, because it's somebody who's not like us who are like, wow, that's attractive because it's different and it's intriguing and you're curious. And so you think it's going to be good. And then after a while, you find out that, you know, different background, different educational level, different values, and now you're stuck in this relationship where you have all these differences. You're now in the stress. And if you get stuck in the relationship, the satisfaction of the relationship is low. And you're stuck in the relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
With somebody you can't communicate with. Mm-hmm. That you can't be agreeable with. That you can't be open to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, this goes on and on with different studies. Like here, extroversion and conscientiousness. We said this was a 2007 study that went on for 15 years. Here's one in Switzerland. Agreeableness and conscientiousness was another one. This was a Swiss study that was done. Dissatisfaction with low conscientiousness and high neuroticism. So
yes, it's interesting.
It's basically the backwards is that low satisfaction with low conscientiousness and neuroticism. So, I mean, it's like the worst of everything. No consciousness. No conscientiousness.
This is
or no consciousness.
It's better. That is better. It's so peaceful.
And neuroticism. Yeah, so peaceful. My boyfriend is so peaceful. He just...
Love the conscious and the first 2 hours of our dating. Okay.
Which actually they talk about in one of these studies is that when people don't match... That sometimes what they do is that one of the partners will turn to alcohol or drugs because there's no, you know, I don't match, I don't communicate. So instead of facing this issue with you and having a conversation and figuring it out, I'll just have a beer. And so they have high unconsciousness rather than high conscientiousness.
Unless neuroticism, whatever.
No neuroticism, because neuroticism. They have no feelings whatsoever.
Yeah,
which may be psychopathic at that point. No feelings whatsoever. In any case, there was one last thing I wanted to hit. Do you remember what it was?
No.
Well, we can go back to here. Is that if you really want to figure out, you want to really figure out what are your values, your beliefs, your things that you want in a relationship and really analyze yourself a little bit. There's a lot of couple of questionnaires, fill in the blank things in 90 Day Soulmate that would help you determine what are those things you want matching on and what you want in a relationship, whether it's your current relationship, something you want to be in, or just a self-analysis to better understand yourself, because the best way to get through life is to better understand yourself.
Yourself, yes.
And even if it's a gap analysis of, oh, this is where I am now, and this is where I want to be, and I want to develop myself to be in this situation, from education, from experience, from job,
and also
whatever
it is. The good part is how much I can negotiate for myself with the person to live the life, because you know, everybody is perfect for you. We had this phrase, but somebody's perfect for you when you got it. That is the area that we need to work in together. So that is, if you recognize, you know, okay, so this is fluent well, this is our area, and you're working and you learn and you feel the improvement in the area that we need to work in together.
So mm-hmm. As you're talking about this improvement together, I remember the story, and I've heard it, I think, on Instagram the other day, which was a woman who helped her husband at the time get through med school, mm-hmm. and he racked up a lot of debt, got his degree, and then part of the reason he then left her was that he was so more educated than she was.
That's happened.
Where? If they negotiated and were agreeable and it turned out differently, maybe it was now my turn was done, now it's your turn. What would you like to do? What's your goal? Let's both progress in our life together, because mm-hmm. we want to be together. And I guess that is it, is what are your goals together?
But maybe separate solution too.
So. Separate might be the better solution. You're right.
So,
absolutely.
Yes, so you have the tool and you have a healthy separation.
So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Lizette and Jim talk about our origin, actually Lizette's origin story that led to us
together
with the heart. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate today on LA Talk Radio. And we will see you when? Next week.
Next week. So
thanks for tuning in.
Bye-bye.
Ninety Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions, where you can get your step-by-step, easy-to-follow, simple plug-and-play plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be in 90 days.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.